Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're talking about something that's really revolutionizing how we think about AI. We're diving into the world of Tiny ML.
Tiny ML.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. So it's machine learning, but on these really low power devices, like think wearables, sensors, even some of the smallest gadgets you can think of.
It's like AI that's so small it practically disappears, but it's still doing all this amazing stuff.
Exactly. The idea is to bring powerful AI right to the source of the data. So instead of sending all your information to the cloud to be processed, the processing happens right there on the device.
Okay. So how does that actually work? I mean, isn't AI usually pretty resource intensive?
It is. And that's one of the biggest challenges with Tiny ML. Traditional AI models just wouldn't work on these tiny devices with their limited power and memory.
So how are researchers tackling this?
Well, there are a bunch of different approaches, but one that's really caught my eye is this new framework. It's called THAN Bayes.
THAN Bayes. Okay, I love the name. But what is it? Like, how does it actually work?
Well, think of it like this. Imagine trying to design a supercomputer, but you have to fit it inside a thimble.
That sounds impossible.
That's essentially the challenge with Tiny ML. And that's where THAN Bayes comes in. It's a framework developed by researchers at UCLA.
Right.
And it uses this clever combination of Bayesian optimization and a deep understanding of the target hardware to design these incredibly efficient neural networks.
So it's kind of like tailoring the AI to fit the device perfectly, rather than trying to shoehorn in a huge model.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. THAN Bayes analyzes the device's limitations. The processing power, memory, even the battery life. And then it designs a neural network that fits within those constraints.
Okay. Now, this is where I need like a real world example. Can you paint me a picture? How could THAN Bayes actually change something I use every day?
Sure. Let's take your smartwatch, for example. Right now, it probably tracks your steps, maybe your heart rate. But with THAN Bayes, it could potentially do so much more.
Okay. Like what?
Well, imagine your smartwatch could accurately track your location, even without GPS. Just by analyzing the subtle movements of your wrist.
Wait, so you're saying my watch could act like a mini GPS just from how my wrist moves?
Exactly. It might sound crazy, but that's the kind of power THAN Bayes unlocks. It could really revolutionize how we think about location tracking, fitness monitoring, all sorts of things.
That's insane. So it's not just about shrinking the AI down in size. It's also about making it so efficient that it can do things we never thought possible.
Absolutely. THAN Bayes enables these complex tasks like voice recognition, gesture control, even real-time health monitoring, all on these tiny devices we barely even notice.
It's incredible. I'm assuming this means there's a huge performance improvement compared to older methods, but does THAN Bayes sacrifice accuracy for efficiency?
Actually, no. It doesn't sacrifice accuracy at all. In fact, THAN Bayes achieves state-of-the-art results on a bunch of benchmark tasks, like activity detection, for example.
So it's a win-win on both fronts, efficiency and accuracy. That must make it super valuable for developers working on Tiny ML applications.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And here's something even better. THAN Bayes isn't limited to just one type of machine learning model or hardware. It's super flexible.
So it's not a one-trick pony. It can handle anything you throw at it.
Pretty much. You can adapt it to work across a huge range of devices and applications.
Okay. So what's the secret sauce behind all this incredible efficiency? How does THAN Bayes actually make it happen?
Well, a key part of it is this really cool optimization tool. They call it Mango.
Mango. I love that. Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Seriously. How does Mango contribute to all this?
Think of designing a neural network like, I don't know, navigating through a maze.
Yeah.
Blindfolded.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds challenging.
Well, Mango acts like a guide in this maze. It helps THAN Bayes quickly find the best possible path to get to that optimal neural architecture.
So it helps cut through the complexity and find the best solution.
Exactly. So you get the best performance on the target device without wasting a bunch of time and resources.
It's a power duo. THAN Bayes and Mango. Now that makes me wonder about those older frameworks, the ones that came before THAN Bayes. Did they have anything similar to Mango?
Most of them didn't, no. A lot of those earlier frameworks relied on estimates or proxies to measure how well a network would perform.
Ah, so they weren't actually testing it on the real hardware.
Right, they were kind of working with incomplete information, which often led to less efficient designs.
Makes sense. But THAN Bayes, with its direct measurement on the actual device, it just blows the others out of the water.
Exactly. This platform-aware approach is a game changer. By measuring the actual performance on the hardware, THAN Bayes can achieve these incredible gains in efficiency and accuracy.
Okay, so it addresses a big limitation of those older frameworks. But were there any other problems that Thin and Bayes overcame?
Yeah. A lot of those existing frameworks were pretty limited in terms of what types of machine learning models they could work with. Like, they might only work with convolutional neural networks, for instance.
So they were kind of like specialized tools, only good for certain jobs.
Yeah, you could say that. But THI and Bayes is more like a universal tool. It can handle a much wider variety of tasks and models.
That's huge. I bet all this number crunching to find the perfect AI architecture takes a lot of time, though. How long does that process usually take?
You're right. It used to be a really time-consuming process.
Why?
But THI and Bayes has drastically reduced that processing time. Much of that's due to Mango and how efficient it is.
So developers can experiment more, iterate faster. That's a huge advantage, especially in today's fast-paced world.
Exactly. Speed and agility are everything.
Speaking of which, I imagine those older frameworks needed a ton of computing power for all those calculations.
Oh, yeah, they did. Many of them required a lot of expensive hardware and resources, which made it harder for smaller teams or individual researchers to get involved.
Okay. So not only were they limited in what they could do, they were also pretty resource intensive. Thin Bayes, by being so efficient, kind of democratizes access to this tech then. Makes it more accessible for everyone.
I'd say so, yeah.
I love that. That leads to my next question. How easy is it for developers to actually start using Thin Bayes?
Well, that's one of the best things about it. Thin Bayes is completely open source.
You're kidding. So the code's freely available for anyone to use, modify, and build on.
Exactly. And that really encourages this whole collaborative environment. Developers can share their knowledge, their improvements, and really contribute to moving TinyML forward.
That's amazing. Open source projects like this are such a testament to the power of community and shared knowledge. So with all this openness and collaboration, how exactly does Thin Bayes actually go about constructing these small but super powerful AIs? What's the method behind it all?
It all boils down to this really clever combination of Bayesian optimization, right? Yeah. And that platform-aware approach we talked about.
Okay, platform-aware, got it. But Bayesian optimization. Remind me again how that works. Sounds kind of like something out of a sci-fi movie to me.
That's a pretty elegant technique, actually. Imagine, let's say you're trying to make the perfect cup of espresso.
Okay, I'm with you. I love a good espresso.
So you've got your espresso machine, and you're trying to dial in those settings.
Yeah.
You know, the grind size, water temperature, all that stuff.
Right. There are so many variables.
Exactly. Now, you could just randomly try different combinations, but that could take forever. Bayesian optimization is like having this super smart barista who learns from each attempt. Each time you try something, it narrows down the possibilities and guides you towards those perfect settings.
So it's not just trial and error, it's like intelligent trial and error.
Yeah, exactly. It's learning from each experiment and getting smarter with every step. And in the case of TI and Bayes, it's using this method to find the perfect recipe for a neural network.
So finding the right number of layers, the types of connections between them, all those little details that make the AI tick.
Precisely. It's all about finding the optimal combination of ingredients and baking instructions for the tastiest and most efficient AI.
I love that analogy. So Bayesian optimization helps Thin Bayes save a ton of time and computing power compared to just randomly trying different network designs.
Yeah, it's way more efficient.
Yeah.
And this is where the platform-aware part comes into play too. Because remember, it's not just designing a neural network in a vacuum.
Right, it's about making sure it actually works on the target device.
Exactly, it has to consider things like processing speed, memory constraints, power consumption, all those real-world factors.
It's like the AI chef also has to be a master appliance technician. They gotta make sure the recipe works with the equipment they have.
Uh-huh. That's a great way to put it. And that's why THI Bayes consistently performs so much better than those other frameworks, the ones that rely on estimates or generic benchmarks. It's like having a detailed map versus just vague directions.
So you get to your destination faster and more reliably.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
We've talked a bit about some examples already, but what are you most excited about? What are some of those real-world applications that THI and Bayes makes possible?
Oh, man, where do I even begin? There are so many. Just thinking about healthcare, for example. Imagine tiny sensors that can monitor your vital signs 24/7 and alert you to any potential problems before you even notice any symptoms.
Yeah, that's preventative healthcare on a whole new level.
Right, empowering people to take control of their health. But it goes beyond just personal health, too. Think about smart homes, homes that actually understand your habits and preferences, like adjusting the lighting, temperature, maybe even suggesting recipes based on what's in your fridge.
It's like having an invisible butler who anticipates your every need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's agriculture. Imagine tiny AI-powered sensors that can monitor soil conditions or detect pests and diseases in crops before they cause major damage.
Yeah, TA and Bayes could be a game changer for farmers, helping them manage the resources more sustainably and produce more food. And it goes even further than that. In manufacturing, these sensors could monitor equipment health, predict failures before they happen,
prevent costly downtime, increase efficiency. The applications are truly limitless.
It's amazing to think about all the possibilities, but it also raises some important questions, right? I mean, we're talking about AI embedded in devices all around us. There's got to be some challenges too.
Yeah, for sure. One of the big ones is data security. I mean, think about it. These tiny ML devices are collecting all sorts of personal information.
It's one thing to have a device that can predict what kind of coffee you want, but it's another thing entirely if that device is vulnerable to hackers.
Exactly. That's why security is a huge focus in tiny ML development. We need to make sure this data is protected.
So encryption, authentication, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. We need security by design. Another big challenge is energy efficiency.
Ah, right. We're talking about tiny devices, tiny batteries.
Yep. And they need to last for a long time. Nobody wants to constantly be recharging their smartwatch or have their smart home sensors dying every other day.
So how are developers tackling that?
Well, there are a few different strategies. Designing more efficient hardware is a big one. But researchers are also optimizing the AI algorithms to use less power. And they're even developing techniques for harvesting energy from the environment.
Wait, harvesting energy? That sounds super sci-fi.
It is pretty cool. It basically involves capturing small amounts of energy from things like vibrations, light, even temperature differences, and then converting it into usable power for the device.
So these devices could potentially power themselves.
Potentially, yeah. It's all about making technology more sustainable and integrated into our lives.
And speaking of integration, I'm really curious about the impact TA Bayes has had on the development community. With it being open source and all, it seems like it's opening doors for a whole new wave of innovators.
Absolutely. By making this technology accessible to everyone, TA Bayes is truly democratizing AI development. And it's fostering this amazing community of creators. You've got students, hobbyists, professionals, all coming together to experiment with Tiny ML and bring their ideas to life.
It's like giving everyone a set of Lego blocks for AI. It's incredible to see what people are coming up with.
It really is. We're seeing amazing innovation in areas like assistive technology, environmental monitoring, even personalized healthcare.
Can you give me some examples? What are some of the cool projects you've seen?
Well, some developers are using T-Cyan Bayes to create wearable devices that can detect seizures in epilepsy patients. Imagine that, providing early warnings that could potentially save lives.
Wow, that's incredible.
Right, and in the environmental space, there are researchers deploying these tiny sensors with T-Cyan Bayes-powered AI in remote areas to track things like air quality, deforestation, even wildlife populations.
It's like having thousands of tiny eyes and ears watching over our planet, providing us with valuable data we couldn't get otherwise. What about personalized healthcare? Any exciting developments there?
Definitely. There are all sorts of wearable devices emerging that can track your activity levels, your sleep patterns, even detect subtle changes in your health. It's like having a personal health coach right there on your wrist.
It's mind-blowing to think all of this is becoming possible, all thanks to the power of TinyML and frameworks like TN Bayes. We're truly on the cusp of a technological revolution here. But we can't forget about the ethical implications of all this, right?
You're absolutely right. As we embrace these incredible possibilities, we need to proceed with caution and a sense of responsibility.
So, what are some of the things being done to address those ethical considerations?
Well, researchers are working on building ethical considerations into the design process itself. We need to make sure these AI systems are fair, unbiased, and that they respect people's privacy.
It's got to be about more than just the technology itself. We need to make sure it's used for good.
Exactly. And it requires a collaborative effort. Researchers, developers, policymakers, we all need to work together to make sure TinyML benefits everyone.
It's a shared responsibility for sure. This has been an amazing conversation. It feels like we've just scratched the surface of what's possible with TA Bayes and TinyML. For those who want to learn more, where's a good place to start?
Well, the TinyML community is amazing. It's incredibly open and accessible. There are tons of great resources online. You can find research papers that go deep into how TA Bayes works. And there are even open source code repositories So you can actually play around with the framework yourself.
Oh, wow. So anyone can just dive in and start experimenting.
Pretty much. If you're even a little bit curious and know a little coding, it's a great way to learn and explore.
It's like a playground for AI enthusiasts. Are there any particular communities or forums you'd recommend for people who want to connect with other TinyML folks?
Oh, absolutely. There's some really active online forums and communities, all dedicated to TinyML. You'll find developers of all skill levels there, sharing their projects, asking questions. It's a fantastic way to learn from each other and just get inspired.
It's amazing to think that anyone, anywhere can be a part of this. It reminds me of the early days of personal computing, you know, when it was all about passion and pushing the limits of what's possible.
I see that too. There's that same spirit of exploration and collaboration in the TinyML community. And it's incredibly exciting to see what people are coming up with.
Well, as we wrap up our deep dive into Hienbaes and TinyML, is there any final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I just say this. If the idea of AI becoming seamlessly integrated into our lives excites you, TS Hienbaes is a perfect example of how we're making that happen. So keep exploring, keep learning. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the one developing the next big TinyML breakthrough.
It's a future full of possibilities, and I can't wait to see what amazing things emerge. Thanks for joining us today for this deep dive into TinyML. And until next time, stay curious, everyone.